Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. One of David Halberstam's finest books was titled simply, The Amateurs, a biography of four young rowers trying to make it to the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles. The book details a sport of incredible intensity and physical challenge, and one that remains to this day a bit rarefied, mostly in the realm of British costume dramas, the Ivy League, and the corners of health clubs where rowing machines, also known as ergometers, typically are stationed. My guest today, Micah Hartwell, is varsity coach for the Tulsa Youth Rowing Association, a club that has both boys and girls high school varsity teams. Tulsa Youth Rowing competes at regattas around the region, and in the few years he's been coaching, Hartwell has seen several of his rowers qualify for nationals and earn collegiate rowing scholarships. Hartwell himself started rowing in the early 2000s when he was an undergraduate in Norman. He found solace in the sport with very early morning workouts, balancing his busy life as a student with a full-time job on top of it. He's progressed all the way to competing in the U.S. Rowing World Trials in 2009 and earning gold medals in U.S. Nationals Masters categories. By day, Hartwell is a lecturer in health and human performance in the Department of Health Education and Promotion at OSU Tulsa. He rows himself with the Masters group of the Tulsa Rowing Club, which spans from total beginners, which encourage them to join the sport, all the way to high-performance competitors. He's been coaching the Tulsa Youth Rowers, a separate association, for about 5 years. I talked to him about the health and exercise benefits of rowing as a sport, and Micah Hartwell is my guest today on Studio Tulsa Medical Monday. Micah Hartwell, welcome to Medical Monday. I want to start just by asking you what rowing is. I mean, we all know about rowing a boat, but you're talking about an organized sport of rowing, which sometimes people call crew or rowing the crew. But so what is it for our listeners? Try to paint a picture.
Okay, so rowing is 7 minutes of pain. It's great. It's the only sport that originated from torture back in slave ships.
Oh, and that's Viking, the origin of, wow.
Viking ships. A lot of times that is where it progressed from. But a 2,000-meter race typically takes 6 to 7 minutes. And to put it in relative terms to personal training or a workout, it's like doing 240 consecutive power cleans at about 90% maximum weight.
240 power cleans. This is a weightlifting.
Right.
So what's the power clean? Is where you have a barbell?
Yeah, so it progresses from a deadlift to a pull all the way up to your chin.
Doing 240 of those, and how fast of an interval?
Usually about 7 minutes or less.
So that's, so it, I never realized. I
mean, typical rowing race takes about 240 strokes.
Uh-huh.
And if you're in the boat doing that, typically it takes about 7 minutes.
Okay, so I have to stop right there because...
Repetition is about 30 to 36 strokes per minute.
Wow.
So that's how many reps you would be doing.
So, I think of movies like The Way We Were or something, or with Robert Redford and Barbara Streisand, and you see it's all throughout, you know, British literature, or you think of Cambridge and Oxford, or you think of the Ivy Leagues and people rowing punts or rowing their crew boats, or the Olympics, of course, are another place we see this. And, you know, it looks beautiful. I mean, you see these crafts, the shells is what they're called, shells mm-hmm. gliding across the surface of the water. And yet I think probably the average viewer has, I would say, almost no appreciation of how, I mean, those that have ever been exposed to it slightly know what hard workouts rowers put themselves through. But when you equate it to that level of intensity, I had no idea that it was that much output. Give us some more examples of what, say, the benefits of this kind of fitness are and what you need to do to sort of maintain optimum performance.
Well, first of all, it's a sport that you can do throughout your life. It's minimal impact, supportive of all the major muscle groups. And we were just competing this weekend in Austin, and there was an 83-year-old man rowing in the Masters competition.
83.
So wonderful impact. Life.
So it's not bad on your knees.
It's not bad on your knees.
And
there's no impact there.
Okay, but what about, I'm thinking of your back. People always say, when I row the ergometer at the gym, my back hurts or things like that.
So that's usually a form issue.
Uh-huh.
So if you keep your back straight and you're ergonomically correct when you're taking a stroke, typically back pain is not usually an issue. Usually issues that arise from rowing, injuries that arise from rowing are typically stress fractures in the ribs because they're back isn't strong enough to support the leg drive. A lot of people think of rowing as an arm sport or shoulders and arms like a bicep pull. But it's typically the front part of the catch or the stroke is just a leg drive. So it's like if you were on a leg press at the gym, that is how you start your stroke. So a lot of times that forceful leg drive is not fully supported by the back, and you end up punching over. And a lot of times that compresses the ribs too much.
Wow. So you, and it's not from the impact of the oar itself banging on someone's chest that breaks the ribs. It's literally their torso, their chest, their ribs are not, their musculature, core musculature is not strong enough to withstand the force generated by the leg capacity.
Right, because the legs have the largest muscle groups. So you have the quads and the glutes.
Wow. So how often does that occur?
Not often. It's really not often, as long as you train properly, especially in the sport of rowing.
Uh-huh.
Injuries, they happen, but not real often.
Okay, and so in order to prevent something like that, you have to do as much upper body work as lower body work, or is it just core strengthening?
It's a bunch of core strengthening, but uh-huh. It's being taught the proper form before you start rowing.
What kinds of exercises do you have your teammates, or your in this case, you're the coach for your team members, what kinds of exercises do you have them do on a given day or given week?
Well, specificity is really important to rowing. There's no other exercise that typically mimics the rowing movement, especially since it takes the full body to go through the entire motion of stroke. So the ergometer is the best piece of equipment to mimic rowing on the water. And a lot of times you can teach all the form and technique you need to that applies to the boat while you're on an erg.
But then it's still different once you get on the water because there's a current or there might be wind.
Right.
Or other
hydrodynamics plays a big part, as well as balance. So on a rowing machine, you don't have the wobble back and forth. And
but then you also have a, like here at TU, for example, there's a rowing tank, right? And
right.
So that's, is it simulated, obviously? You have a shell in the water or some kind of simulated?
It's very similar to the ergometer. The rowing tank has the same slide and tracks that the ergometer does. Mm-hmm. So there's not a balance issue as well. It's basically the rowing tank allows you to get the proper technique. And the technique called sweeping is what typically they do here at TU.
Mm-hmm.
So you have one oar per person. And within the tank, you get to actually use an oar and put it in water. So you get to feel the depth of the blade in the water and get a good feel for what the motion is when you swing back and forth around the oar lock.
So give us, you mentioned 2,000 meters. Is that a very standardized distance for a rowing race?
For youth, collegiate, and open events, it is. And so youth is anybody who's participating for a school or a club that is a high school level age athlete. Open is open to anybody given their age, regardless of where they are at in age group. And then collegiate, obviously, people who are rowing for specific colleges, as well as world teams and national teams compete at a 2,000 level race. However, masters competitive races are typically 1,000 meters.
So for the slightly older folks or people sort of out of college age and beyond, we think of masters as old, but as you pointed out to me earlier, it's not necessarily mean old people, but, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, all the way up
right.
into their 80s.
So the AA age category starts at age 21, mm-hmm. and they progress all the way up. And the older you are, the higher your handicap, meaning you get extra seconds to be added onto your race time.
But you also, so the distance might be a little bit shorter. Okay, let's talk wattage then. How much wattage do you put out in? How, I guess, do you measure that by the ergometer, or do you have a device you wear?
We measure it by the ergometer. Mm-hmm. So wattage output somewhere between 1,200 and 1,900 per stroke, which equates to a very low split. So when we talk about rowing pace or rowing speed, we're talking about split,
uh-huh.
which is the average time it takes you to go 500 meters.
And so can you compare that to, you know, an hour of tennis or something, or some more, perhaps more mild sport? Or
I don't know.
Okay.
And if we're talking about physiology.
Yeah.
The only sport, as far as the volume of oxygen consumed max, VO2 max, is that would be relative to it, is cross-country skiing. So typically, rowers who are advanced level will have somewhere a VO2 max around 65 or up.
Wow. So give us some perspective on that. I mean,
that's the amount of oxygen you uh-huh. consume per minute, which is...
That's in liters or something?
Yeah, it's in liters.
Okay, so that seems like a lot of liters. So
it
means high performance. So other sports are when we're just living our lives, our VO2 is very low.
Right.
Yeah. So this is something that people can build that exercise capacity through training.
Absolutely, yeah.
And only cross-country skiing is on that order of magnitude?
Cross-country skiing is typically on that same level. If you get into some elite cyclists, then you'll have some that have a VO2 max comparative to that.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. My guest is Micah Hartwell. He's a lecturer at OSU Tulsa. He's also a certified exercise physiologist, and he coaches with the Tulsa Youth Rowing Association. How long have you been coaching?
I've been coaching for about 5 years.
You have had some success with, I'd never thought of Tulsa as particularly as a rowing city. I think of it as like the Charles River in Cambridge, Massachusetts, or back in England. But turns out we have a pretty vibrant rowing community.
Yeah, we do.
So how many youth rowers do you have? And is it a particular school or is it a number of different schools?
It's all the high schools in the area can come out and join. Right now we have a lot of athletes from Booker T. Washington, but we usually have students from Cashel Hall, Holland Hall, Jinx, Bixby, and several other.
And what's the regimen in terms of how often are they expected to come to practice and for what types of competition?
Typically, we practice 5 days a week.
Uh-huh.
And usually 3 days are on the water, 2 days are on land on the erg. There's an optional day, so typically the coaches are there 6 days a week.
Do you find in general when a kid tries rowing for the first time, what's the attrition rate, or what's the retention rate, moreover? Do you find that kids, does it take a certain mindset, or what tends to be the factors that get someone to stick with rowing?
We really don't lose that many kids who try it. Mm-hmm. It's a sport that they don't often think about as in Tulsa, like you said earlier, but the attrition rate's really not that much once they try it. It's a sport that is unlike any other, and once you get out on the water and away from land, you have a coach that follows you in a launch, but really it's you're out on your own enjoying the intensity of the sport while also being one with nature. Because really, once you progress at it a little bit, you become, like you said, gliding across the water. It looks effortless, even though it's very intense.
I've always been impressed with how effortless it looks, of course. I think one thing I've learned over the years is that great expertise and hard work is what it takes in order to make something look so effortless.
It takes a long time to make it look that smooth.
You folks, both the Tulsa Youth Rowers and also the Tulsa Rowing Organization, which is really the master's group or the adults, row. There's some rowing that goes on in Catoosa, mm-hmm. right? And then there's also rowing right here nearby in the Arkansas River.
Right.
Kind of near downtown.
Right.
Tell us about those venues.
So we share a boathouse with the University of Tulsa at the Port of Catoosa. It's Rogers Point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our juniors are located out of. We practice out there anytime we get on the water. The good thing about that venue is that it's one of the most spectator-friendly places to hold a regatta, which TU holds quite a few during the spring season. And we have our Tulsa Youth Rowing Association's annual regatta coming up in April.
Nice. And so is that a free event open to the public?
Oh, yeah. It's open to the public. And actually, the part we race on, the sides are raised up. It's kind of like you're looking over a cliff down onto the race course, and you can see from start to finish, which is very unusual for most regattas.
How many different teams will come and participate in the youth rowing regatta, and from where in the country? How far away, I guess?
So they're going to come from all over our region, which is Oklahoma, Texas. We usually have Mile High from Colorado, and then Arkansas, so our surrounding states. And we opened our event up this year to pretty much all of the clubs. So we've had interest from as far south as Austin and Houston. Then typically Wichita comes, and Arkansas Boat Club comes, as well as Mile High from Denver.
And I know in the past have had some rowers go on to, I guess, national level success, and you've had a few that have even earned scholarships to colleges.
Mm-hmm.
What have some of the results been over the years you've been doing it?
For the past 4 seasons that I was coaching, we took a crew to nationals each year, which you have to qualify through central districts. Then we've had several rowers get scholarships to college. We've had one of our girls sign with USC and one of our guys sign with Cornell this season. In the past, OCU, and we've had a couple of kids go to Yale and Gonzaga and some other Ivy League schools.
Man, that's tremendous. And this is, it's in some ways really a very club-level sport in terms of it requires sort of the knowledge of, this is, I guess, one effort in that is sort of just more awareness about it.
Mm-hmm.
You told us about the tremendous you know, oxygen capacity essentially that rowing athletes have, and comparing it to cross-country skiing. You told us about the tremendous workload that a rower can generate in terms of wattage. What are some of the other health benefits? Because you know a lot about exercise science. I mean, when you're trying to, let's say, not that you have to sell it, but if you were talking to a parent and recommending why their youngster should start rowing, you know, what are some of the other things you might tell them?
Well, it's a sport that really demands discipline, dedication, teamwork, working in a competitive atmosphere, trying to get things accomplished. And it's not only about rowing, but we went to Austin this past weekend, and it's about being able to work as a unit to load a trailer, which involves de-rigging our boats, loading them on a 12-foot tall trailer in three different racks. And it takes a lot of teamwork, a lot of mechanical skills. So beyond that, while their child is developing, both growing physically and stature, the respiratory system is also growing. So getting into a habit of exercise, routine exercise, typically lasts for a very long time.
Do you also counsel your students, your athletes, on aspects of nutrition as well?
We talk quite a bit about eating vegetables. Uh-huh. So, yeah, that's typically the high school teenager in Oklahoma gets plenty of protein in their meals. So I always encourage them to eat more vegetables.
And so, but there's not anything special in terms of, you know, needing high, you mentioned protein, but high calorie food in order to replenish all the burned calories that go on through the sport?
Yes. We talk about how much more they need to eat rather than just the typical standard diet. With as much work as they're doing and presumably needing to build muscle, they have to add calories to their diet to maintain that.
So I, when I have seen rowers, they always strike me as very sort of contoured people, meaning, you know, nice muscle definition, but not hugely bulky people.
Right.
So we're talking about, is it lean muscle mass that's put
lean
on?
Lean muscle mass is what we're looking for, because you don't want to add more weight to the boat.
Oh, that's interesting
because
point.
You're thinking about buoyancy. So you don't want to add more weight to the boat because it takes longer to get down the course. It's a lot more effort you have to put in each stroke.
So you really, you don't necessarily want your athletes lifting weights to bulk up, but instead, is there weightlifting involved? I mean, so it's lean for toning, perhaps, or just repetition?
There can be weightlifting. Some programs have a weightlifting program, some don't. Currently, I don't necessarily need my high school athletes to do it, because we do a lot of power work on the erg as well, because you can slow the stroke rate down and really increase the power per movement that you're doing. You can also break that down. Like I mentioned before, specificity is one of the key factors in rowing. You really want to stick with the type of movement that you're doing in the sport you're competing in.
One thing I've always wondered is, you know, there's always this debate about sort of natural athletes versus, you know, folks who train really hard, or I guess, you know, the Michael Jordans of the world, or the combination of great natural ability plus, you know, hours and hours and hours of training. If you're a rower, or you're a would-be rower, or if you're a parent looking at your kid, what are some of the things you'd look at that would say, hey, maybe my kid might be good at rowing?
We typically need athletes of all sizes.
Uh-huh.
So
to
you
balance
can,
the weight in the boat, is that?
No. Oh. There's a couple of different types of people who need to go into a boat. So first we have the coxswain, mm-hmm. who sits in the front of the boat and either steers the boat and tells the rowers what to do. So that person has a minimum weight limit of 120 pounds for the boys' team, 110 pounds for the girls' team.
Okay.
So they just have to be over that amount, and you don't want them to be too much over that amount, because that's more weight you're pulling down the course.
Right.
So we have a need for small kids. And then we have a lightweight program. There's a lightweight program for both boys and girls. So the lightweight maximum for men is 150 and 130 for girls.
And that's the individual's weight. It's not the average of the...
Right, it's the individual's weight. And then there's the open weight program. So typically within any of those, you're looking for somebody who's lean.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that somebody who may be overweight or husky couldn't join the program and get that way. Because we, over the course of several years, that typically develops just as a product of the workload.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guest today is Micah Hartwell. He's a lecturer at OU Tulsa and a certified exercise physiologist. He also coaches with the Tulsa Youth Rowing Association and has been coaching for 4 to 5 years. Micah, what got you started in rowing? Did you start in college, or was it after college?
I started at OU in Norman. And I was one of the founding members of that program back in 2001, 2002. And it really fit in my schedule. I was working full-time and going to school full-time. So one of my friends asked me to come out and join the rowing team. And at the time, I kind of laughed at him and said, you know, that fit in my schedule. And he was like, oh, no, we did it at 5:30 in the morning. And I was in.
Wow.
And he quit about 4 days later.
Oh, my goodness. So it was the bait and switch. He baited you in, and then he dropped out.
Yeah.
Was this conducive? This was not conducive probably to a lot of late-night partying, I imagine.
Absolutely not.
Okay, so you were disciplined even as a college student and looking for something to balance your studies with your work, and the morning time proved to be right. So how often were you working out when you were in college?
Pretty much 6 mornings a week.
Uh-huh. And does OU now have a varsity?
OU has a varsity women's program.
Varsity women's for Title IX compliance, mm-hmm. which is where you have to balance the number of varsity teams from it. Okay. And then where did you take it after college?
After college, I moved back to Tulsa and started rowing with the Tulsa Rowing Club. And a couple of years after that, a rower who was rowing with the club program at Oklahoma State University moved back to Tulsa, and we started rowing together in the lightweight men's pair, and we went to the World Trials in 2009 and competed for a spot on the national team. And from there, I went to Masters Nationals later that year and picked up a couple of medals there.
Wow.
So
you're seriously elite rower.
I've been doing it for a while, I wouldn't say.
But so when you say lightweight for an adult or Masters category, what's your weight limit?
So lightweight for the open category in a team boat, which means you're not just rowing by yourself, is 70 kilograms, so 154.3.
Wow. And you look very svelte, but do you ever skirt that line? Or?
That was in 2009.
Gotcha.
this past weekend I was rowing in Austin, and I raced in the open category, the open Masters category, and probably weigh about 165, 170.
You still look very fit. So doubles is a pair of rowers. Were two men, right?
So there's different categories depending on what discipline you're in. So if you're sweep rowing, the order of progression is a pair. So that's one oar going out each side of the boat.
Okay.
One long oar. Then you have a four and an eight. So that goes up to the eight-man boat, one oar going out each side. And then the other discipline is called sculling.
Okay.
And that's single, double, and quad.
Oh, and sculling is where you have both oars, left
right,
and right.
Two smaller
for
oars.
Each. Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't realize. So, again, the amateur that I am, I did not know that. So how, I guess, hard or easy is it to cross over from rowing to sculling? And, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of overlap, or at least at some points.
They're pretty much, they're pretty similar. So going from sculling to sweeping, you learn the balance. You learn how the oar moves around the pin or the oar lock. And you find the balance with both hands at sculling, and you move on to sweeping. And generally, that's an easier progression than going from sweeping, which is going out one side of the boat continually, to sculling.
Now, we spoke about Catoosa and how they have this ideal sort of natural, the natural height of the banks makes for good spectator viewing. What about rowing just nearby in the Arkansas River?
Yeah, the Masters program is currently running their program out of the River Parks Boathouse, since the Tulsa Rowing Club Boathouse burned down last April. So we row out of the River Parks Boathouse where Oktoberfest is held, and we row on Zinc Lake, which is from the 244 Bridge to the low water dam.
And how far apart are those? Is that
that's
the full
about
2 kilometers,
actually.
Oh, it's right, so you don't have a lot of room for...
Well, with the Masters program, you're racing a 1,000-meter race. There's a decent amount of room to get your full 1,000 meters in there and practice.
When the gathering place is finished, is it repairing the low-water dam? And what's anticipated for, I guess, rowing opportunities? Or will it get more cluttered with canoes and other kind of recreational boats?
I don't think it's going... I think it's going to be a much better venue to row. I can't imagine having all of the stuff that they're putting in on the east bank of the dam affecting much of what's going on from the west side.
Oh, because so you guys put we'll in be, from the west.
Right. So we'll hopefully be building a new boathouse on the same spot our old boathouse was. And hopefully that'll be completed by August.
And is it conceivable that schools around here, I mean, we live in a time of, you know, incredibly tight budgets and budget cuts, it seems like year after year from state appropriations, but is it conceivable, because there are high schools I think of often of private schools or prep schools that have varsity rowing programs, but is that something that could ever happen here in Tulsa, or is there just not enough of a critical mass in order to do that from schools?
As of right now, there's not that much motivation that I've seen for the schools to do that. Hall & Hall does have does award credit, physical activity credit or PE credits for students who compete with the rowing club.
So your background's pretty interesting because you you have this credential as a certified exercise physiologist, but also teach public health, environmental health, and what else do you teach at OSU?
I teach in the health education and promotion department. I teach exercise physiology, biomechanics, and stress testing and exercise physiology.
Wow. So I guess, for example, what are you working on this semester, say, or who are you teaching?
I'm teaching the undergrads who are looking to go into public health in some kind of either nonprofit work or personal training. But a lot of the students that I teach are currently interested in going on to PT or OT school.
And do you find that there's overlap between folks that are interested in those disciplines who you often recruit for rowing, or not necessarily? And these are college kids, so I guess they're too old for youth rowing, but maybe for masters.
They are a bit older than we'd look for in the youth program, but they have said that they're interested. I haven't actually recruited anybody from what we're looking at.
What would you like to see, I guess, if you could, the Micah Hartwell wish list for Tulsa youth rowing or masters rowing for, I don't know, whether it's facilities, equipment, or participants, what would you like to see down the road?
We have, as far as our master's program, we have plenty of boats, brand new boats, since we just got an insurance claim filled from all the boats we lost. We have a lot of beautiful new boats that we need rowers to fill. Anybody who's interested between the ages of 21 and, well, we actually have a doctor that competes on our team who's 70 years old, just had a birthday yesterday.
Wow.
So any age to come out and be involved in and fall in love with the sport.
And so where do people turn for more information?
For our master's program, it's tulsarowing.org.
Uh-huh.
And for our junior's program, it's okrowing.org.
Okay, so that's for the juniors, okrowing.org, and for the master's program, tulsarowing.org. Micah Hartwell, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for being here. Micah Hartwell is a faculty member in the Department of Health Promotion at OSU Tulsa. He's also the head coach of Boys and Girls Varsity Rowing with Tulsa Youth Rowing Association. Well, that's our show for this Medical Monday. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of KWGS or the University of Tulsa. If you've missed any of our shows, you can listen to them online anytime on your smartphone, tablet, or computer just by going to our website, studiotulsa.org. For Studio Tulsa, I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Thanks for listening.